Amen. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we proclaim here this morning that you are worthy. You're worthy of all the praise that we can give you, Lord, because you have created us. You have provided for us, God. You protected us. Lord, you've seen our children leave home and come back safe. God, you've always made sure that we had enough to put food on the table. And Lord, you've forgiven us of our sins. You have put them away where they can never harm us again because they're washed clean by the blood of Calvary. Lord, you took care of our sin when there was nothing that we could do about it. So Lord, you are worthy of all the thanks we can give you. We're worthy of all the worship and praise we can give you. You are worthy of all of our hearts and lives. Thank you, God, for always being faithful and always loving us and always being there for us. God, we ask your blessing on this time as always, that it might bring fruit that'll be eternal. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all name, in the name that we've gathered, in the name that we've sang, and in the name as always that we pray, the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It's an honor and a privilege this morning to be here with you and to be able to present to you a young fellow who's become a friend of mine and been good having him at the 8:30 service. And Terry Hardy is here with us this morning from the Gideons to talk about their ministry. And most of us know who that is. What do the Gideons do? Well, they do a very powerful thing. They put God's word in the hands of people who wouldn't have it otherwise. And he's going to share with us some stories about how that's made a difference. He's going to share with us some stories about why they do what they do. And I know that you're going to be blessed because I already have been. And I just pray that we will be a blessing to the Gideons as well today. Terry, I'm going to ask you to come forward and take over and just close out as you see fit, sir. Thank you.
You missed him. You missed him. Dan was on his way to church down in Arkansas one Sunday morning. And he drove, as he was on his way to church, he saw a guy on the side of the road. And as soon as he went by, the Holy Spirit said, you missed him. But he had several things to do at church. So he was rushing on to church. He wanted to get there on time. And just about the time he got into the churchyard, the Lord said, you missed him. You missed him. Pulled in the parking lot, and the Lord said again, you missed him. He said, okay, Lord, I will go back and talk to this gentleman beside the road. Put his car in reverse and went back and pulled up, and this guy was still standing by the side of the road. He introduced himself, said he was a Gideon, and about the time he pulled out his little brown testament, we call it the PWT, his wife drove up. So he had some conversation with them, and he asked the most important question, where are you going when you die? And neither one of them could say heaven. So by the side of the road, he used the little testament and told them about our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Both of them accepted Christ. Now they are attending his church, and they're involved in Sunday school. That's the power of his little word in it. I'm sure all of you know who we are, as the pastor said, but I just like to remind every time we go who we are and what we do. We're an association of laymen from various evangelical denominations. We are Christian business and professional men. We are over 190-some thousand men, over 90,000 ladies, which make up the auxiliary. We're organized in 196 countries. We printed the gospel in 95 different languages. We're just your extended arm of your local church. We are your missionaries because we can go many places that doesn't allow the church to go. We place Bibles in hotels, motels. We place them in convalescent homes. We place them in hospitals. We place them in with our schools, colleges, and fifth grade. We place them with our firemen, our policemen. We place them with our rescue workers. We place them in the travel lanes around the world because we have one simple thing that we want to accomplish: to win men, women, and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. And as we place those scriptures, we find a scripture in Isaiah 55, verse number 11. So shall my word be that goeth its forth out of my mouth, but it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Every time your heart beats, two Bibles has no doubt been placed somewhere around the world. So just think how many has been placed since we have been here this morning. Last year we placed over 84 million copies of His wonderful word, one by one, around the world. Since 1908, over 1.8 billion copies has been placed. And I want to share with you just a couple of stories of what God is doing with His placed word around the world. Fred was in the 1st Cavalry as a medic. And he was in Vietnam, and they was having a battle, and he was on the perimeter of the battlefield attending to the wounded, and all at once he was overran by the Vietnamese. And they captured him. And when he went to Vietnam, he had a Bible that the Gideons had given him, maybe looking something like this, or it might have been looking something like this. This is the one I got when I went into the Navy, so I don't know which one it was looking like, but it looked like one of those. And he managed to hide that when he was captured and put into prison. While he was in prison, he was there about 4 years, but while he was there, he was beaten, put into solitary confinement, and mistreated severely. But he got comfort from the precious word of the Lord while he was there, when he could sneak some time to read it. After he'd been there around four years, he and three other buddies managed to escape. They lived off the land for about 3 to 4 weeks before he ran into some of his group and was rescued. Well, after leaving Vietnam, he moved to Florida. And the little testament that he was given, he put his father and mother's name and address in it, in the front copy. So he'd been back in Florida several years, and three years ago, he received a call from his mom and dad. Said, "We got a letter from a Vietnamese, and he wanted to meet you. So we gave him your phone number." So in a few weeks, the phone rang, and it was one of the guards. He said, "I would like to come and see you." He said, "I've took that little testament you left and went to Thailand, and through that little testament, I found Jesus. And I'm back in Florida. I moved to Florida to minister to the Vietnamese in the Florida area. And I'd like to meet you." And he said, "Okay, we set up a time." And so there was a knock on his door, and the guard was standing on the porch with his wife. And when he opened the door, the guard knelt on his knees and said, "I want you to forgive me for all the trouble I caused you, mistreat." And Fred said, "Well, you know, it's going to take me a little while to get over this. Give me a little time." He said, "I want you to come to my church down in Miami and share your story with my church." And Fred said, "Yes, I'll do that." Well, about a week before the assigned date for Fred to go to his church, Hurricane Andrew came through, and the pastor was killed. He went out to assist one of his members of his church and was killed. But his wife called and said, "Fred, we want you to come. That was my husband's wish, that you could come to our church." So he agreed. So, standing in the pulpit of his former enemy, he was able to forgive his former enemy. You know, that's the power of God's Word in it. He was able to forgive. And that experience shows how His Word doesn't return void, as we look at the promise in His Scripture. There was a young man coming from Columbia to Miami. His name is Oscar Fernando. And I can't pronounce his other name, so I'm going to let that pass. But he said, "In 1998, I was arrested at the Miami airport charged with possession of drugs and laundry money. And while I was in the detention center, a gentleman came by and gave me a little testament. Well, I was sentenced to 25 years for each offense. And that was a long, long time that they sentenced me in prison. I began to read that little book while I was in prison. And I found what I was looking for. It was food for my soul. And I give my life to Jesus Christ." And while he was in prison, he began to be the leader of a group of prisoners that was studying and learning more about the Bible and spending time together and witnessing to the other prisoners. And said, "I saw God's hand at work while I was in the prison." And then somehow or another, he was able to get parole. God's hand was involved. And he said, I returned to Columbia a happy man. My family and I attend a Bible-believing church, and we are devoted Christians. Last year, I was invited to a Gideon meeting, and I went to the meeting. But he closes the letter like this: "Today, I thank the Lord for having put me into prison. I came to the U.S. with heroin in my stomach, and I returned to Columbia with Jesus in my soul." Amen. That's what God's doing with His Place Word around the world. I want to share four things that you can do to help us. Number one, would you take some time often and pray for us as Gideons? You have Gideons in your church. Pray for that Gideon that's in your church, because he has an awesome responsibility to make sure we stay in good relationship with our churches and our pastors, that we do the job that God has called us into. So pray for the Gideon camp in Mannery. Take some time often and pray for it. Then I'd like to encourage you to use the Memorial Bible. Well, I said Memorial Bible. It's changed to the Gideon card. But I encourage you to use that. When your pastor has done something great, he's had a significant good message, send him a card saying, "Thank you for that wonderful message," and place some Bibles in honor of him. All the instructions is in the information as you pull out the card. So do that. Also, you might have somebody, there may be somebody in the congregation that the Lord has touched your heart a little bit, that you'd like to become a Gideon, or you want to know more about it. See Tom or myself before we leave today, and we'll be delighted to tell you. I joined the Gideons in 1983 in Cerebral, Tennessee. And I haven't been sorry that I joined the Gideons since that time. It's next to my church. It's the best organization that I've ever been in. And the Lord has moved us around several places, but I always find the Gideon camp as soon as we go to a new town. So somebody may be touched And we would just be delighted. Matter of fact, I even got an application in my briefcase I'll give you. So that's how important we think it is to recruit new members. Then last but not least, your financial gifts. A Bible like this that we place in the motel is $5. A New Testament looking like this is $1.35. The Bible in the motel has the potential of reaching 2,300 people in 6 years. What an investment that is for $5. Isn't that a missionary investment? You can't hardly find that anywhere, can you? Of how that $5 will go so far. So I encourage you to share if the Lord touches your heart to give. We as Gideons receive absolutely no monies. I go and pay my gas, and if I'm out of town, I pay for my food and whatever. Because I love to place God's word. Even before I was a Gideon, I never will forget when I got saved. I used to buy little testaments like this and give them out. I guess he knew I was going to be a Gideon before I ever did, because I just love to give out testaments. Now, I told you that we were involved in organized in 196 countries. Over half of those countries have an income of less than $2,500. So you can imagine, okay, do I buy food or do I buy a Bible? And what you think you're going to do? You're going to buy food, aren't you? So you can be a significant help. Millions of people don't have a copy. So you can be of significant help in placing one of those scriptures and one of those hands is reaching out saying, I would like a copy. Please give me a copy. And when they find Jesus, the rewards will be untold when we get to heaven. Church, thank you so much. I'm humbled by you allowing me to be here and allowing me to stand behind the sacred desk. I don't take it for granted. I come with a humble heart that we can share what God is doing with His Word around the world. Let us pray. Father, what an awesome God you are. Thank you so much for allowing me to just take a few minutes of the church's time and tell what you're doing around the world. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the congregation. Thank you so much for their attention. And Lord, I just praise your name. Every time I hear another one has been added to your kingdom because someone has shared a scripture with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Terry. Quick question.
Yes, sir.
You said that the Gideons, since 1908, have placed 1.8 billion Bibles.
Billion copies, yes, sir.
Billion copies.
Billions.
Of Bibles. You know, 1.8 billion, that's a lot. We usually only use numbers like that when we're talking about the government spending money, but that's a lot of Bibles.
Amen.
And we thank you for what you do.
God bless you.
Yes, sir. Take care. 1908, 1.8 billion Bibles. Let's think about this for a second. They've placed that many Bibles around the world, and you know a lot of them have been in this country, and you know a lot of them have been in this state, and you know a lot of them have probably been in this area. You know what the odds are? Odds are with that many Bibles and that many people over that period of time that someone in your past, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, a great-uncle, a great-great-aunt, a teacher, a pastor, someone either came to know Jesus Christ or came to know Jesus Christ as a result of somebody else that came to know Jesus Christ as a result of a Bible being placed somewhere by Gideon. In this room, there's got to be at least one person who is the fruit of this ministry. And that's tremendous. That's tremendous.